In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Gregory Palamas says about this day, he says, you know, it's only been 10 days now since we saw the Lord ascend to heaven. And we are in no way somehow deprived because we weren't there, because he has ascended for us. And we see this as much as the apostles that were standing there saw it. This is, of course, because in the Lord, in the Holy Trinity, in the inner life of the Holy Trinity, there is nothing but eternal present. There is no past. There is no future. There is only the great Om, the great I Am. And so everything that he does has eternal significance for all of us. And so all of these things are continually repeated for us over and over and over again. And what did the Lord say? He said that, you know, if I don't ascend, then the Holy Spirit will not come to you. And we wonder why this is. Well, of course, the Holy Spirit had been present in all of creation, just like the Father and the Son was. There was no doubt that he was there, that he was working in the lives of everyone. And in fact, we heard at the Matins Gospel when he was given to the disciples themselves after his resurrection. But yet, as the Father was completely the one that the Jews believed that they were worshiping in the Old Testament, except for those saints of the Old Testament that foresaw the better thing, that knew that there was more coming, and that knew that the Son was also active. But yet we consider the Old Testament the dispensation of the knowledge of the Father. And gradually the Trinity was revealed. When the Son came, when he became incarnate, that was the beginning of what we call the last days, the final and complete age of the entire dispensation of God among his people. And now, on this day, the great and holy feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is manifested not just to a few, but to every one of us, to all of us, in a way with power that cannot even be imagined. Now, what happened on this day? About 120 followers of the Lord, including the disciples, were gathered in the upper room. And they heard the sound as if a mighty rushing wind. Why is this important? A wind. Why would the Holy Spirit make the sound of wind? Well, as we read, even going back into the Old Testament, whenever we hear about wind, breath, the whirlwind that stopped all of Pharaoh's army from getting to the children of Israel, the still small voice comes in that breath, in that wind. It is constantly, the Holy Spirit is constantly being associated with this type of imagery. Yet today we see something not only in the imagery, in the sound that was so familiar, but in something else. Tongues of fire upon all of those people that were there. Now, remember, it says tongues as of fire, tongues like fire, to show us that this was not just some normal fire that we might see. It was an image that sort of portrays to us what it might be, but yet it was far more profound. And we might think tongue, too. Why tongues of fire? Why would that type of imagery come upon us? Why would that be something that was visibly seen by all present? Well, because if we look at it carefully, with the dispensation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was, what, the Word of God, correct? What is closer than word and tongue? The two are united together. Without one, you really can't have the other. And so we hear about tongues and a fire. Why fire? Well, for one thing, because God the Holy Spirit is every bit as much God as God the Father and God the Son. And we know that our God is, as it says in the Psalms, an all-consuming fire. This same fire that flows from His throne in heaven, that illuminates all of us, both righteous and wicked, and tells the entire world which side we are on in all this. In the same way, the Holy Spirit would come upon the disciples and all of those followers that day and illumine them in the same way. Some would fall away, some would stay and embrace the message that was being given to them that day. We know that around, according to the Acts, around 3,000 people at this one time were all converted to the faith because they all heard the gospel in their own language. And the scriptures mention about 13 or 14 different races of people that were there on that day, not speaking the same language, and yet they all heard the gospel in their own language. This is the gift of tongues. It's not glossolalia. It's not some kind of incoherent babbling. No, it was for a very practical reason, for the spreading of the gospel. That is what the tongues of fire were all about. So many people don't seem to understand really the nature of what Pentecost is. Because you see, this same Holy Spirit that came way back then comes to us today when we celebrate the Kneeling Vespers right after liturgy. And we all implore Him to come among us. And we cannot doubt that in reality He does. But you see, so many have confused what the Holy Spirit really is. And part of that is actually a theological explanation as too. It goes back to the whole idea of the subordination of the Spirit in Western theology, and that He proceeds eternally from the Father and the Son. There is something different about the way He comes out of the Holy Trinity that is not shared by the Son or by the Father. And because of this subordination, many see the Holy Spirit more as some sort of, well, perhaps a gift, some sort of power, some sort of spiritual animation that comes among us. It's not like He is thought of as He, as an individual hypostasis of the Holy Trinity, fully equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. What do we say? And in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, Kyrios, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified. So the Holy Spirit is not just some sort of segment or some sort of activating presence that God sends. The Holy Spirit is fully God. He is among us. He is sent temporally by the Son, but yet, as St. Gregory Palamas again says, He also sends Himself. There is no diminution of His activity or of His equality in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Trinity. So this is something we need to keep in mind, that the Holy Spirit is not a thing. It's not something to be played with or to get emotional about or all these sorts of things. But it is God. He is God Himself and comes among us. And a lot of Christians don't get this. They don't understand who the Holy Spirit really is, just as many of them don't really understand who Jesus Christ is, fully God, fully man. And this is what is given to us today. And my dear brothers and sisters, you know, we've gotten lazy, I think, in this country in terms of our own religiosity, in terms of the things that we've been able to do in this country the last 60 or 70 years. Things now seem to be changing a bit for us. There is much more oppression against the practice of religion in general, and especially in Orthodox Christianity, because we're lucky in this instance, because most of America doesn't know about us. If they did, they'd be all over us, believe me. They really would. And those days may be coming when it's important to take this Holy Spirit in our lives that was given in the same way as it was to the apostles, is given to us this same day in the same way with the exact same power and commitment. It's important for us to understand this, to realize our faith, to proclaim our faith, and to do it boldly. Because there's many things coming against us that we're going to have to stand up and to oppose. And it's going to take a lot of guts. It's not going to be an easy thing. And it's not, I don't say this in order to, you know, proclaim sourness and dourness. No. Even if persecutions were here and the guillotine was out in the parking lot, I wouldn't be saying that. Because in Christ, there is no fear. Nothing. We're not afraid of anything. We look for the joy given to us in the Holy Spirit. The joy in proclaiming the Christian faith. This is what we are all about. If we're not about this, we're not about anything. So it's very important to understand this, that even when the tough times come, and the tough times will come, if not corporately, then individually, they will come for all of us, that we still must understand the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There is so much energy, power, sanctification, grace found in the Holy Spirit that we simply ignore most of the time. We don't pay attention to it. We don't call on Him in our lives. We routinely say, "Oh, Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth," as we're winding up our morning or evening prayers, but we're not paying attention to what those words really mean. What we are asking Him to do, to come and abide in us and cleanse us from all impurity and save our souls. But we don't. We push Him away. Okay, well, that prayer's out of the way. Now time to go on to the Trisakion. You know, that's how, well, really, slack we've become, in part because of the blessings and enjoyments we've had living in the society that we live in. But we've got to change that attitude. We've got to understand that the Holy Spirit now comes to us for a reason. Okay? He comes to cleanse us, to sanctify us, to enable us to proclaim the gospel of Christ in all its fullness and all its power, because Lord knows this country that we live in now desperately needs it. Desperately. So many people searching, wondering, thinking there's got to be something else to life aside what we're getting. I mean, how much materiality can you acquire before you're completely happy? Well, I finally got that powerboat. Now I can rest easy. I don't have to worry about anything. My life is complete. Doesn't work like that. The powerboat's one thing, and then you want the next model, the next year. It never stops. But it can stop when we understand what the important things are. When we understand what the Holy Spirit gives us is something that we cannot attain anywhere else at any time in our lives. It is the fulfillment of everything that we desire. But we have to look inward and we have to practice the faith. That's absolutely imperative. If we don't, it's all vanity. All vanity. So my dear brothers and sisters, let's pray these prayers with fervency. Let's set our minds aright, as we say, on the one thing that's needful in this life. On the one thing needful, like Seraphim of Sarov said, the acquisition of the Holy Spirit. Because again, what did he say? Acquire the Spirit of peace, and thousands around you will be saved, because they will flock to that thing that is missing in their lives that you have, that you can pass on to them, that you can give them. But it all starts with me, with you. If we don't acquire it individually, then nothing will happen, which is why we gather corporately today to pray for the Holy Spirit's action, activity, and blessings in our life. Amen.